Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on, pray.
Oh,
be glad in it. We thank God for
another day. Another day that we can preach the gospel. Another day that we can speak the truth. Another day that souls will be saved and lives will be changed. Another day that the bodies of many will be healed. Another day that those that have not known Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they will be introduced unto him. Yes, we thank God for this day and this hour. You want to be able to call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the hour of power broadcast is on the air. We want to stir your heart today. We want to let you know that God, he is God and God all by himself, and that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. And there is nothing too hard for God. This morning we're getting ready to call to go before the throne of grace, and we want you to just get ready to go with us. Come on and go as we go before the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, good God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. Lord, we thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And that word have we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Father, have your way today. God, move inside of us. God, strengthen us. God, cause the word of God to be made manifest in us. And Father, for this, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning, we're not going to be preaching from your favorite newspaper or your favorite magazine or your favorite book, but we're going to be preaching this morning from the Holy Scripture, from the Word of God, from the truth of God. For the Word of God said, we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So why don't you turn in your Word to Matthew, the 24th chapter. And here we see in the Word of God, we're going to begin at that first verse from Matthew, the 24th chapter. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him but to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see, you not all these things? Verily I say to you, that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, and said to them, take heed that no man be deceived. But many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Let's put a pin there. Let's stop there as we go through the Word of God, line by line, precept by precept. Here we see that when Jesus had gone out and departed to the temple, and the Word of God tell us, and his disciples came to show him the building of the temple, and here Jesus had said to them, he called their attention. He let them see. You know, it was, I'm quite sure that the temple was beautiful. And it was at awe when people see just like the different buildings that we have, that God has enabled men to architect and to design and to be able to skyscrapers and all these other things that we have in our, in the United States of America, in our cities. are some beautiful, beautiful buildings. But then the Lord Jesus was speaking and to his disciples. He called his their attention to the buildings that they were at odds with. And here Jesus said to them, "See you not all these buildings? Verily I say to you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." No matter how beautiful the building is, no matter how nice the Twin Towers was, no matter how big there are certain buildings that that we are at awe and that we think that they're so beautiful and they're good to look at and we are proud of them to be in a part of the United States or in our city or in our state, yet we see that God is saying something to his disciples. He says, "See you not all these things?" He said, "Verily, which is truly, I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat there upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, and they wanted to know from him, when shall these things be? And then they wanted to know, what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And then Jesus said to them, he said, "Take heed that no man deceive you," because he knew the heart of man. He knew that there was going to be some false teachers and false prophets and false people that did not know the when he was coming. Really, the word of God says that we don't know the day or we don't know the hour when the Son of Man comes. We're not going to know it. Even the angels in heaven will not know. But he is enlightening them. He is saying to them, he says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, but many," and this is the word of God, he didn't say a few, but he said, "Many shall come in my name." What is his name? His name is Jesus. So they know it is power in the name. Sometimes people neglect to give God the glory and to be able to profess and to be able to speak his name. Don't you know that we can't do anything without Christ? Do you not know that there is healing in the name of Jesus? Sometimes people pray and they don't know and they don't understand why they're not being healed, because they're not speaking it in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. The word of God say, "In my name shall they cast out demons and devil." Sometimes we don't realize why we're not casting out demons and devils, because we're not doing it in the name of Jesus. And then when we begin to think about, and I'm not trying to get off on anything, but even as revelation comes to me, when Jesus was born, before he was born, they let Mary know. Mary and Joseph know that this child's name was going to be called Jesus. So therefore, we see here that in this fifth verse of the 24th chapter of Matthew, it says, "For many shall come in my name," because they knew that if they came in the name of John, there's no power in the name of John. There's no power in the name of Mary. It's no power in the name of Luke, but it is power in the name of Jesus. So he's saying that there's many will come in my name, saying, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. And it says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Oh, my God, we're living in a day, we're living in a time that there are wars, there are commotion, there are things that are happening in the world today. And we may say that this is going to be the day of this week or this year that many have said that Jesus is coming on a particular day, but they were false prophets, and they were liars because they didn't know, and God didn't tell anyone what the exact day or the hour that he is coming. So here the word of God says, I like to read that sixth verse again, because it says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we see the wars that have happened in this place and that place. And we see that and hear of the wars and things that are over in foreign countries, and the wars that the United States of America has been involved in. But the word of God says, be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But he is saying to us that the end is not yet. He says, for the nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these coming things are coming and approaching the end, but yet he's not telling us when the end is going to be. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled, because I'm telling you that these things will come to pass. And then he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, he didn't try to hide it. He didn't try to discourage us, but he's telling us the things that will come to pass at the end, almost at the end, those things that's going to happen before the end time. He is saying that, yes, you know, that you're going to be delivered up to be afflicted. People will be afflicted. You know, people are going to go, individuals going to go through things in their life. His disciples suffered. They went through things in their life. But Jesus was the greatest example, because he showed us and how things that he suffered in behalf of the people, in behalf of the world. Because he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, that's me, whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he's saying that you are going to go through some things in our life. And the word of God says, even as he has suffered in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer, meaning that we're going to go through things in this life. So don't get upset about it. Don't try to run away from things, but know that Christ is there. The key, knowing that Jesus Christ is there, that he will fight battles for you. He will be there for, remember when Paul and Silas was in prison, and they were in there because they were teaching and in the name of Jesus, and that they didn't like it. The enemy did not like it. So therefore, they put them in prison. But then we see God being able to come and counteract that. And God was able to come in, and the bands that was on them was loose. And even those that was in prison, that was guarding them, they wanted to take their lives because they knew that they were supposed to be keeping the prisoners locked up. And they wanted to take their lives. But Paul said, don't take your life. We're all here. But God was letting them know and let you know the power of God. And because of the fact that they were able to experience the power of God, the jailer, they received salvation. Their family received salvation. We must know that God, He is God, and He is God by Himself. And when we go through affliction, did you think that Paul and Silas, that there was that very wish for them to want to be incarcerated, be put in prison? No, but for the gospel's sake, it was going to be all right because they rather live for Jesus and speak the truth than to back down, being silent, being not motivated, being not standing on the word of God, being one that just don't want a prayer to speak truth and speak the word of God. And when you speak the word of God, it's not all the time that people are going to embrace you. But when you know that you're speaking the word of God, then you go ahead and you speak truth. You know, you speak the word of God. So he is saying to them, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And it's so important because I believe that there are many trying to dilute the power of God and dilute the power that is in the name of Jesus. They don't see the necessity. You know, they don't see that there is power in the name of Jesus. That's the power in the name of Jesus. That's what he said, that we're going to cast out demons and devils. How are we going to cast out demons and devils if we don't do it according to the word of God and according to what he said? And his name is Jesus. You know, you've got to know his name, and you got to know the power behind his name. And many people don't realize that they can operate in the spirit because they are not speaking or they're not using the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. He said, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Oh, my God. This is when the people of God, when people that are going through situations in their life, people that are speaking the word of God, they said, and many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Well, we're living in that day. We're living in that time. Yet we don't know the day or the hour that he's coming. But many people, there are many people today. I mean, if you just look at the body of Christ, when you just look at people that say that they belong to Christ, they are offended about many things. When you're offended, and you can't ask God to forgive that person that may offend you for their transgression or their sin, that keeping you from praying for that person, that keep you from being in unity with that person, that keep you from loving that person. And the Bible said that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the word of God said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So the enemy is using offense in order to get people out of the will of God because they offended. They offend me. They said something to me that hurt my feelings. They offended because what a person didn't do. They offended because of something a person did do. So, therefore, they made the person, the preacher, may not preach the word of God like they wanted them to preach. person. But God wants us to come up higher. God don't want us to stay in a fence. I'm talking about the signs of a second coming. It says, and then, the word of God said, and then shall many, he didn't say a few, but he said many, many people is going to be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. If you offended with someone, if you offended with them, then you say no longer, if they were your friend and you had confidence in them, then you no longer have that confidence, you no longer have that trust in them. The word of God says, the trust in the Lord with all of thy heart, and to lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Our trust and our confidence must be in the Almighty God. Our trust must be in God. If we put our trust in God, then we won't be deceived. We won't have to go through the things sometimes that we go through. But when we put our trust and confidence in man, in flesh, in man, a lot of times man walk in carnality. In other words, they're walking in the flesh. They're not in the spirit of God. And when they walk in the flesh, then you can expect for them to betray you. Because if they offended with you, they will betray you. They will not want to, they will say things, they will do things that they would not have done if they were not offended with you. And then we go to a part of the word of God says in that 10th verse, it says that, and shall hate one another. And, you know, this is a word of God for today to let us know where we are as people of God, where we are as people that do not know God. You know, when you hating one another, when God says to love one another, you know, how can we say that we love God when we can't love one another? And that's what God is wanting the people to know, that we have to love one another. You know, love. That's what the word says in John 3:16, did it not? But God so loved the world. What's in the world? The world consists of murderers, liars, thieves, homemongers, prostitutes. I mean, everything that you can name. People live in lasciviousness. I mean everything, but God loved the world so much. It's not that he loved the sin that they were in, but he loved the people that's in the world, and he died for them. He took those stripes upon his back, and my God, and he took them, put his thrones upon his head, and they pierced him in his side. And they gave him vinegar. They gave them things to drink that was very, very difficult for him to take. But he took it because of the fact that he loved us, you know, that he loved us. And it didn't matter that we were sinners. But we were sinners saved by the grace of God. Those that are saved, when we were sinners, we were all of us. We were all sinners. Don't forget that. You know, but sometimes we can start looking at ourselves and we can brag on ourselves. I go to church 3 times a day, 3 times a week. I read my Bible every day. You know, I don't drink. I don't smoke. You know, I don't do dope. You know, and we can brag on our own self. But are you mean? Are you stiff-necked? You know, are you pride? Are you walking in pride? You know, I mean, we have to think about that. And, you know, we don't love the way that God wants us to love. So, therefore, we have to look a closer look at our own self, whether you may be this morning. We have to look at ourselves. I'm speaking to the thousands of people that are listening to me on today. and that will be listening to this broadcast, because it's so important for us to love one another. It's so important that we get in line with the Word of God, line by line, precept by precept. And the Word of God says that, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Well, how are you going to know that they are false prophets if we don't read the Word of God, if we don't study the Word of God? The Bible said to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. How are we going to know the truth? How are we going to know that false prophet if we don't know the word of God, if we don't know the truth? You know, somebody can come, and the word of God already say they're going to come in his name. They're going to say that I'm Christ. And then many are going to run to this person, individuals, because they think they are. You know, because they're, look at what they're going to do. Because when we begin to look at the word of God, remember when God had sent Moses to Pharaoh to let his people go? And he was a prophet of God. He was a man of God that God had sent to Pharaoh, to the people, to let his people go, you know, because they were suffering, you know, just going through a lot of things. But then when Moses, remember God told Moses, he said to him, you know, he was talking, first he had taught him, he showed him, like he'll show you. You know, he said to Moses, he said, put your hand, because he didn't believe, he didn't think they were going to believe that God sent him. And so therefore, he said, put your hand into your bosom. And he did. And when he took it out, his hand was like leprosy. It was white. His hand wasn't supposed to be white. But then God told him to put it back in there, and it came normal. And then God continued to teach him. He said, for him, he said, what do you have in that, in your hand? And after, it was a rod. And then the rod came, and he told him to throw the rod down, and that rod became a snake, remember? And then, that was something that what makes me jump back and to like, my goodness, you know, but he wasn't, Moses wasn't at that time, was used to the power of God. He wasn't used to seeing things like that. So then God told him to pick it up by the tail. He didn't say pick it up by the head. You know, he told him to pick it up and showed him how to pick it up. He picked it up and it came back a rod. And then one of the things God told him to pour some water on the ground, on the sand, and it became blood. So he was teaching them. He was engaging them, knowing what to do. So when he went to Pharaoh, and his magician, his astrologers, these people that did that knew how to work miracles themselves, they did the same thing. But yet, what God showed Moses to do, it surpasses the things that whatever they tried to imitate, everything that he did. Come on. But I'm saying, but you got to know truth. You got to know the word of God. You would have thought, my goodness, these people got power too. You know, you see people that doing certain things and you thinking, oh my goodness, this must be a man of God. This must be a woman of God. But if you're not saturated and you don't know the word of God and you don't know truth, you would think that these people are of God. When God is telling us that false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And in other words, because sin shall abound, the love of many. And you're finding people that are not in love with God. And if they're not in love with God, they are certainly not in love with people. They don't have that compassion. They don't have the truth inside of them. So therefore, you know, it's hard for people to love a people when they not loving God. You know, it's difficult sometimes for people to do this. But God let them know today that he don't want you to be deceived. Listen to me. He want you to know the truth. He want you to be free in him to exercise your faith and to know who he is and what he has done and what he will do in your life. And in that 13th verse, it reads, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, that's a mouthful right there. When we begin to look at that, endure. It's those that are steadfast, those that are unmovable, those that are founded in the works of the Lord. You know, we're going to have to abound. We're going to have to endure. Endure the tribulation. I mean, endure being offended. I mean, we have to endure people lying on you. Endure people not loving you. Even sometimes you have Christians that say they are Christian that have not been delivered and don't know and not fully walking in the pathway of righteousness. Sometimes we can get so offended with them because of their unrighteousness and because they're still like babes. You know, babes, when a baby is born, they don't eat meat. They drink milk. And some people that they are been in the faith 15 years, but yet they are still on the milk of the word. Why do you say that, Dr. McCoy? I say that easily because they don't know how to love. They don't know how to walk in truth. They are offended. They don't speak to people. They're not loving people. You know, they're walking around even in the church and not speaking to one another. They're inside of their job. They won't speak to sinners. They think that they have arrived, you know, but yet that lets you know that they are on the milk of the word and they are not on the meat. They are not walking in the full strength and the power of God. I'm not saying that that you could be in the word 15 years and not go to be strong, because when you're on the meat of the word, that means you're strong. You're walking in victory. You're walking in truth. You're exercising your faith. And that's what God wants us to do, is to exercise our faith. We can't just read the word and don't believe the word. We can't just read the word and not operate in the word of God. God was speaking the word of God to Moses. So therefore, he was able to hear what God was saying to him, and he was go out to demonstrate what God is saying with what God had said. And see, except he had gone to demonstrate it, then he was not going to be able to do those miracles before Pharaoh, before those people that was looking on. You know, God wanted them, you know, God wanted to know, no, this is not just some individual that I've sent out here. I mean, this is a believer. You know, this is a believer that I've sent to speak my word. And yes, I sent him to deliver my people, and I'm going to get your attention, and I'm going to use him to do signs and wonders, and I'm going to use him to bring my people out of the land of Egypt. So therefore, when we began to look at the word of God, we look at God. He knew Moses, because you know, Moses wasn't perfect when God called Moses. I mean, his life wasn't perfect. You know why? Because Moses, after he came out of Pharaoh's home, you know, that's where he would live at as from a baby, you know, but it wasn't God will for him to continue to say that God protected him and shielded, but he did wrong. He did some wrong things, and he had to flee, you know, because he had killed this man. You know, he was walking in the flesh because he wasn't walking in the spirit. He didn't know God. He didn't, he was in there with Pharaoh and with those around about him, and he did it because they came against his people, you know. So therefore, he had to flee. But then God called him. It's just like all of us. You have to keep in mind that all of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. You know, we got people sitting in the church that was, I mean, they were liars and they were thieves. And they were fornicators, and they were homemongers, and they were prostitutes. You know, they were everything. They was living, as I say, lasciviousness. I mean, they did some everything, but yet God cleansed them, you know, and God made a difference in their lives. You know, and there's a song that was sung a long time ago. it says, I'm not the same anymore. I'm not the same anymore. Since Jesus came into my life, I'm not the same. Why? Because they are a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. They are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. All things become new. You know, when God makes you new, you're new. So it doesn't matter if you've been in prison 15 years. I don't know why 15 keep coming up to this morning, but you could have been there, and yet God would deliver you, use you, and he would call you to preach the gospel to millions of people. So, you know, we have to know that our God, he is able to do all things and anything, no matter who you may be. I want you to know, you may be a sinner today, and there are many of you that are sinners, many people that are sinners out there that need to be saved. But I want you to know to take the limits off of God, because he wants to save you. And I just believe that this message is for the people of God, for the people that are not saved as well, to let them know to get right. Now, our time is about up, but we're going to continue this message on next week. We want you to hear what God is saying, because God having us to teach and this morning about the signs of a second coming, because he is coming. He is soon to come. And so we know when he's get our house in order. And we're not just talking about the physical house. When we say get the house in order, you're supposed to clean up your house and take care of things in your home. But I'm talking about this house, this tabernacle, you know, the place like the Word of God says. Come on. We have to get our soul right. You know, we have to get our spirit right. We have to get everything about us right. You know, we have to get rid of that offense and that hatred. And we got to have more love. And we got to walk according to the truth. And we got to do those things that God will have us do. But we're going to stop today, and we're going to stop on that. I'm going to read on that 12th verse, and then we're going to continue on next week. And the Word of God says, and because iniquity, sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I mean, we in that day today, that the love of many people are waxing cold. You know, they don't have that warmth. They don't have that love one for another. But God wants us to love one another. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done. Thank you, Father, for all, God, that you're going to do, Lord God. Thank you for the Word of God that you have given me to preach this morning. Thank you, Father, for giving us revelation, knowledge. Thank you for the wisdom, God, that you have spoken through that servant. Lord, continue to use for the upbuilding of that kingdom and for tearing down of the strongholds of the enemy. Lord, use us, God, to set the captives free. Use us, God, that souls, many souls, God, will be won to the kingdom of God. Lord, those that are not saved today, Lord, I pray, God, even now, God, that you would touch their heart. I pray, God, that you would saturate them. I pray, God, that you would fill them, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, with, Lord, compassion, with, Lord, that you would save them, Father God, that they would come into the knowledge of you. God, I'll preach the word this morning. And I ask you, God, to call them, God, to say yes to your will and yes to the way. God, you said if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, God, you said that we shall be saved. So I pray, God, even now, God, that you would save, deliver, and to make free. Lord, everything that they've done, everything they've said, God, forgive them. Even, God, the Christians that have not lived according to your word, God, forgive them for their sin. Forgive them for their transgression. Lord, I ask you, God, to do it even now. And, Lord, I pray, God, for those that are sick, those that have infirmity of the body, Lord, I pray, God, that you will cause healing. God, as we pray. And for this, God, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You have been listening to the Our Power broadcast. Please join us on next week as we again come before you from for in behalf of the Almighty God. This is Dr. Mary McCoy. May God bless and keep you.